Welcome back. Today is an advanced Ableton Live Mixing Masterclass. Stereo width for pads and effects at 170 BPM, drum and bass context. The goal is simple to say, but hard to nail. Make your atmosphere feel absolutely massive, cinematic, and alive without stealing punch from the kick, snare, and bass, and without collapsing into facing nothing when you hit mono. Here's the mindset for this whole lesson. At 170 BPM you have a stereo width budget. Your drums and bass are the center anchor. Every time you widen something, you're spending that budget. Spend it on the least rhythmic, least essential elements first. If a pad has sharp attacks or rhythmic gating, treat it like percussion. Narrower, cleaner, less reverb. Wide doesn't automatically mean better. Wide means you made a choice. We're going to build a repeatable system. A pad layer that's wide above roughly 250 to 400 HC but stays mono-safe down low. An FX layer that moves and feels huge but stays controlled, and then an Atmos bus that enforces a final stereo plan so everything behaves together. Let's set up the session. Set your tempo to 170 BPM. Now make core groups. Drums, bass, music, and effects. Even if your project's already built, it's worth organizing, because width decisions should be hierarchical. Drums and bass stay stable. Music and FX get the width treatment, but controlled. Create two return tracks. Return A is wide verb. Return B is ping deet ly. Then create a master group called Atmos Bus, and route your pads and FX into it. Not your drums. Not your bass. This is important. We're going to automate and correct stereo on a bus level. Not fight chaos track by track. Now we build the pad. Create a MIDI track named PAD. Waveatable. Drop in Waveatable. For oscillator 1. Start with a saw or a harmonically rich Waveatable. Turn on unison, but keep it reasonable, like 2 to 4 voices. Too much unison is one of the easiest ways to get sounds amazing in stereo. Disappears in mono. Oscillator 2. Add a sine or triangle quietly underneath. This is not for sub. It's just to give a stable body so the pad doesn't feel like pure fizz. Filter. Use LP 24. And set the cutoff somewhere between 500 Hz and 2K Hz depending on how dense your drums and bass are. You're basically deciding, is this pad a background bed or a more featured musical layer? Amp envelope. Attack around 20 to 60 milliseconds so it blooms instead of clicking. Release 1 to 4 seconds so it breathes across the fast groove without stepping on every snare. Now add chorus ensemble. Set it to ensemble mode. Amount around 20 to 40%. Rate 0.2 to 0.6 Hz, mix 15 to 30%. You're not trying to hear chorus, you're trying to hear width and glue. If you can obviously hear the modulation, it's probably too much for a drop. Next, add auto filter and make it a high pass, HB12, around 150 to 300 Hz. In drum and bass, this is not optional. Wide low end is where phase issues and sub conflicts come from. The club doesn't care that your pad is wide at 120 Hz. The club cares that your bass hits hard and centered. Now we do width by frequency using mid/side EQ, with stock EQ8. Drop EQ8 after the filter. Switch it to M/S mode. Here's the core idea. The sides should be air and shimmer, not weight and mud. On the side channel, add a high pass at about 250 to 450 Hz. If your pad is still stepping on the mix, push it higher. Think of it like this. The higher you high pass the sides, the safer your mono compatibility tends to be. Still on the side, add a gentle high shelf around 6 to 12 kHz, maybe plus 1 to 3 dB, just enough to make the width feel expensive. On the mid channel, manage the low mids. If the snare starts feeling cloudy or your mix loses urgency, try a small dip around 250 to 500 Hz. Don't carve it to death. You're just making space for the snare body and the bass presence. Now add utility. Start with width around 120 to 160%. And this is where you act like an engineer. Not like a thrill seeker. If it feels unstable, go back to 110 to 130. The best wide mixes are usually less wide than people think, but smarter in where the width lies. Add saturator after utility. Drive 1 to 4 dB. Soft clip on. Keep it subtle. Saturation here is density and readability, not aggression. And a pro workflow move. Map the utility width to a macro so you can automate it between sections. In DNB, width is an energy failure. You'll use it like arrangement automation, not a static setting. Now let's put the pad in a wide space without washing the drums. Go to return A, wide verb, and load hybrid reverb. Pick a hall or chamber algorithm. Set decay to about 2 to 4.5 seconds. Intros can go longer, drops usually want shorter. Pre-delay is the secret weapon at 170 BPM. You want the reverb to feel big, but you can't let it mask the snare transient. Here's some useful timing. At 170 BPM, a 1/64 note is about 22 milliseconds, and a 1/32 note is about 44 milliseconds. So try pre-delay around 20 to 25 ms or 40 to 50 ms. When it locks, it feels intentional instead of blurry. Set hybrid reverb low cut to 250 to 500 Hz. High cut around 8 to 12 kHz if it's getting too bright. After hybrid reverb, put EQ8 in M/S mode. On the side, a small boost in the 8 to 12 kHz area can make the width feel like it's wrapping around the listener. On the mid, cut a bit around 300 to 600 Hz if the reverb is boxy or pushing the snare backward. Then utility on the return. Width 160 to 200%. This is a return. It's the perfect place for unreal width because it's mostly ambience, and ambience can be wide without destabilizing your core mix. Optional but powerful. Add a compressor on the return and sidechain it from the snare. Keep it gentle. Ratio 2:1, attack 10 to 30 ms, release 80 to 200 ms, and just 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction on the loud hits. The goal is not obvious pumping. The goal is snare readability. Now send your pad to wide verb. Start somewhere like minus 18 to minus 10 dB send level and adjust by ear. Big coaching note, when you want more width, try turning up the send or widening the return before you widen the dry pad more. Return first width is usually safer for mono and punch. Now we build effects that feel wide and move with 170 BPM energy. Create a MIDI track, effects, sweep, load operator. Use noise as the source, or a harmonically rich wave if you want more tone. Add auto filter. Use BP12 or HB12. Map the cutoff to a macro, and sweep from around 300 Hz up to 8 kHz. This gives you that classic rising energy that works over 8 or 16 bars. Add autopan. Use a sine shape. Sync rate to half note or one bar for bigger movements, or faster for transition moments. Amount 30 to 70%. Phase at 180 degrees for maximum left-right travel. If it feels too dramatic, back the amount down. Remember, predictable movement feels pro. Random wandering feels like a plugin demo. Now add delay, the stock delay device. Set it to ping pong. Use 1/8 dotted or 1/4 time, those are sweet spots for DNB. Feedback 15 to 35%. Filter it, high pass around 400 Hz, low pass around 6 to 10 kHz, dry/wet 10 to 25%. You want motion and tail, not a distraction that blurs the groove. Now make the effects wide but safe. Put EQ8 and high pass around 200 to 400 Hz. For effects, side energy should be high and slash or short. Wide, low, mid sweeps are exactly how you make a drop feel slow and distant. Then utility, width anywhere from 140 to 200% is normal for FX, because they're not your anchor. But if you get phase issues, don't just panic and slam it back to 100. First try removing the problem band from the sides. More high pass, less low mid, less modulation depth. Now we tie it all together with the Atmos bus. On the Atmos bus group, drop EQ8 in M/S mode for corrective shaping. High pass the side at 200 to 400 Hz. If needed, use a steeper slope, even 24 dB per octave. If the snare crack gets buried, dip the side around 2 to 4 kHz, because that range is where presence fights happen. And if you want sheen, add a gentle side shelf, plus 1 to 2 dB around 10 kHz. Next, glue compressor. This is not for smashing. Attack 3 to 10 ms. Release auto or 0.3 seconds, ratio 2:1. Aim for 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction on busy moments. This just makes pads and effects behave like one environment instead of separate noises. Then utility, because this is your section-wide width control. Think arrangement, intro and breakdown. Width 150 to 180%, drop, width 110 to 140%, because you want the drums to feel closer, more urgent, more in your face. If your live version has bass mono in utility, you can use it, but don't rely on it as a band-aid. The real mono safety comes from keeping low content out of the side channel upstream with M/SEQ. Optional limiter at the end, just to catch peaks if effects spike, not for loudness. Now arrangement, width as an energy fader. At 170, width changes feel dramatic, so use them on phrase boundaries. Try 16 to 32 bars intro, pads wide, longer reverb tails, FX sweeps moving, in breakdown, even wider, filter automation, more delay throws. Then at the drop, snap the width slightly narrower, shorten the reverb decay, and keep impacts wide but short. Here's a really effective trick. Create negative width moments. One or two beats before the drop, pull the Atmos bus closer to mono, or reduce the return sends. When the drop hits and the width comes back, it sounds enormous without you adding any gain. Now let's talk mono and phase checks, because this is non-negotiable. Put a utility on the Atmos bus, and temporarily hit mono. Your pad should reduce but not vanish. If it disappears, you've probably built a pad that's mostly side information, often from too much chorus, too much unison, or too much side energy in the low mids. Use spectrum on the Atmos bus and check if there's energy below 200 Hz. Generally, there shouldn't be much from pads and FX. If there is, tighten your high passes, especially on the side. And listen in three ways: headphones for stereo detail, your main speakers for balance, and a mono playback source like a phone or a single speaker to hear collapse behavior. If mono collapses, here's the order of fixes. First, high pass the side more aggressively with M/SEQ. Second, reduce modulation depth, chorus mix, unison amount, or any stereo motion. Third, lower utility width. Fourth, shorten reverbs and reduce stereo modulation on the return. Now some advanced upgrades you can add when you want that pro record stability. 1. A parallel mid pin for pads. Make an audio effect rack on the pad group. One chain is your wide pad. The second chain is mid pin, utility with width set to 0, then a band pass EQ around 500 Hz to 3k Hz, then very light saturation. Blend it very quietly, like -18 to -20 dB relative to the wide chain. This keeps the pad readable in mono without killing the wide vibe. 2. Snare space ducking without obvious pumping. Instead of ducking the whole reverb, duck only the mid of the reverb, especially in the 2 to 5kHz range where snare presence lives. That way the sides stay wide, but the center stays punchy. 3. Dynamic side taming for harsh effects. You can build a side de-esser, EQ8 in M/S, boost a narrow band in the side around 7 to 10kHz, then multiband dynamics to gently compress the top band, then another EQ to undo the boost. It's a classic trick. You force the dynamics to react to what you care about, then you put the tonal balance back. And a sound design bonus, micro pitch width without chorus mush. Use delay as a doubler. Set it in synced, with left time around 12 to 20ms, right time around 18 to 28ms, feedback at 0, dry slash wet 10 to 25%. Then filter it, high pass around 300 Hz, low pass around 8 to 10kHz. This often widens more cleanly than heavy chorus. Let's lock it in with a mini exercise you can do in about 15 to 25 minutes. Make an 8-bar break and an 8-bar drop. One pad chord, loop it. Build the pad chain, wave eatable into auto filter high pass around 200, then chorus ensemble, then a Q8 in M/S, then utility. This audio version is shortened for playback.